All right, the question up to mind, we still have to finish Abigail. Huldah is very, there's just a little bit in the Navi about her. So maybe we'll be able to talk about that. I doubt it, but maybe we will. At any rate, so the question up was with Abigail, we had learned that David had asked for some food from Abigail's husband, Naval. And what we mentioned last week was the idea of it is acceptable and laudatory to give food if you're making a big party and there are people who are hungry and come and ask to eat, then it's certainly laudatory to share your food. Alachat kama vakama, from but the point of view that David felt that he had a certain status. He had already been anointed by Shmuel HaNavi, and so he had a certain status, and he was well aware that Naval, being from Shevet Yehuda, would know about it. And if you remember, we mentioned that when David and his men decided that Naval deserved the death penalty, it was on the basis of the fact that they had considered Naval a Morev Malka, that he was a rebel against the king, a capital crime. It wasn't public knowledge, but it's getting to the point where everybody knows. And Naval, being from his neighbor, David Yehuda, was definitely aware. David Yehuda, remember we said he thought maybe. And Chani just mentioned that we need to know another thing, which is that David and his men had been helping to watch Naval's flock. So there was another reason that they had a right to ask for food. After all, they had been Shomrim in the Midbar, and they say that we helped you. You didn't have any sheep missing. No sheep were damaged. There weren't any thieves. There were thieves, just like there are at every era. He had a right to ask as payment, not as payment, as consideration, is what I'm trying to say. The point is, my friend, did he have a right to consider the act of Naval as a mered b'malcha, right? And Vivian just said, it wasn't really public that he had been anointed. And there's also another fact, and that is that who is acting as king? Shaul is acting as king. He is actually behaving as though. Well, say anything. He just is continuing to do whatever he's doing. At this point, of course, he is also chasing David. So I want to remind you what we were up to last week. We had gotten to the point where when Naval refuses to give food to David's men, the men come back to David. They set up a Beit Din, according to the Midrash. They set up a Beit Din, and they decide, yes, he deserves death. And they are going to come and kill him. Meanwhile, back at Naval's house, one of the servants has told Abigail what had happened. Abigail, these men of David came. They're not going to let it rest. Naval refused to give them food, and please see what you can do because they're not going to let it just rest. And so that's what we're up to. And we want to see what it is that Abigail does. And we read that already just a little. In the middle of the night, I want to start with the top of the page on page. Which there were, what happened to our things? Oh, okay, I just want to know where it is that people walk in. Okay, so let's read from, okay, let's read from the top of the page. But to my hair, Abigail, I like that. She knew she had to do something quickly. So, but thing one, if people are hungry, give them. Give people food, especially men, right? It's very important to give men food. But here are the heads of you. But to my hair, notice again. But to my hair. Batishtachu Ara. And she got off the donkey and she bowed down. Batipol al Raglav fell to the sea, but it's all my fault. Doing it's called in Ivrit Lefayez, in other words, to appease. The first thing you do is you want to calm down somebody's anger. You say, it's my fault. Lesson one, right? Somebody's very angry. I did it. It's my fault. Please allow your maidservant to speak and really listen to what your maidservant is saying. She knows he's very angry. She knows because she heard them speaking. They were really angry, and the first thing she does is she tries to push. It is my fault. Don't pay any attention to the words of my husband. Who's in charge of the kitchen anyway? That's what she's saying. I should. It's my. I prepared the food. But look what she says now. Very, very interesting. Above. Notice I skipped. I didn't put that. You want a good read? Then read the entire thing. But I thought I don't. And now I thought in my mind. Hi, Hashem. I swear by God and I swear by your life. Hashem and Aha Hashem over the man. That my coming to you is a God is stopping you from shedding blood and taking the law into your own hands. Hosea Yadchalach is taking things into your own hands. Hashem has stopped you from saying to him straight, I was sent. So here is this little. That is, this is more than just a woman interfering, though it's pretty good even as a woman interfering. Nevertheless, there's a godly. Hashem, I swear, I want you to know that it's Hashem. Not doing the prophecy. See, I wanted to not use the word prophecy. So yes, in other words, what she is saying clarifying. You don't have to worry about Naval. And I hope that all of your enemies will be like Naval. Incapable of really hurting you. And any people who want to do bad things. In other words, may all your enemies be like Naval, not going to be able to harm you. But Hashem sent me to give you a message. But first, Va'at Habrach. But now, first things first, here is the bracha, the gift, right? The food that I brought, that your maid servant brought to me. And let it be given to the lad. Notice she doesn't say to him, I brought you food for the lad. She says, doing all the work. Let them have the food, right? Because they go in the footsteps of my master. All of the men that follow you need the food. I brought you food. That's what you first. Kafchet. Don. What you might call prophet. Please forgive the sin of your maidservant. She is taking it upon herself. I did it because Hashem is going to make my master a bayit ne'eman. What is he? A dynasty. You are not going to have a dynasty. She is predicting something that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is revealing. Says, don't make a big deal of what's going on now, because Hashem is going to make you a dynasty. You are going to be a king of your children. Because my master will fight the battles of Hashem. He will fight in a godly way. And an evil act should not be found in you, all of you. In simple language, don't ruin the whole thing. You have a great in front of you, my master. You are going to start a dynasty. Don't do something that would put a blot on your record before you've even started. What would be the blot on his record if he would kill Naval? That would be a blot on his record because it would be a murder. And it's interesting, the Midrash says all kinds of people, when they come to ask for tzedakah, then they would say, David HaMelech, when he was still young, he went to Naval and he Naval did. And he killed him. So I could kill somebody who was Kaftet, Yakam Adam and you are especially now in a position of danger. And a person, when they're in a position of danger, has to be more careful, ordinary. In other words, you don't want to be punished now if you make a mistake because there is somebody who wants to kill you right now. A man, Ish, an important man, has risen who wants to kill you. Who's that? Shaul exactly. Who's your soul? And here is the big thing. V'hoita nefesh Adoni, Rura b'tzror achayim et Hashem Elokecha. Sound familiar? And may the soul, it's on every tombstone, my friends. Lo aleinu, you go to a cemetery, every single matseva will have across the top, tough, nun, tough, nun, hey, nefesh, whatever. You know, there was tough. In other words, it's written across the top. The words of Abigail are used. So I'm messing up the letters, right? But if you go to every Beit Olam, you will see the letters that she used. It's a tefillah. Put it on every tefillah. The soul of this person who's buried here should always be tied with the bonds of eternal life with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning the person. It's nun tzaddik. I have to, you know, go look again. Yes. Tehei nafshecha tzura bitzror achayim et Hashem Elokecha. May your soul, in other words, don't do something, you know, murder is a capital. Murder is a crime that keeps a person from earning Olam Haba. Say, don't break the bond between you and Hashem. Don't do it. Don't. Must not. Remember her words. Be'et nefesh oyvech yitzlach. And the soul of your enemies, anybody who will work against you, will not be tied, but rather will be in a slingshot. Kaf HaKela is in the pouch of a slingshot. In other words, the soul will be thrown, eternally spin around in the world, wander, and not have a place. Saying, don't do anything that will be a blot on your soul at the beginning of your career. Be very careful. And it will be when Hashem will do all the good things about you, meaning you will be king and you will have a king. And he will command you to be a ruler on Israel. Velo tiyezo lecha lefucha lemichto leiv ladon. Don't let this be a stumbling block. What? Don't let this killing of Nevah. That you'll worry. Don't let this stumbling block. Hold dumb numb. And to shed blood for no reason. Ulahoshia Adoni Lo. And to take the law in your own hands. Ulahoshia Adoni Lo. Save yourself. The hating. And if you don't let this be a stumbling block, and you don't, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do good to my master. When that like Yosef, that's exactly what the Torah says. Yosef, remember when he predicts, when he gives the right of the Sar HaMashkim by Sar HaOfer. And he says to the Sar HaMashkim, who's going back, remember me when you get there. A little self-serving. Tiny little bit. So Chazal, just a minute. One at a time. Why? You know, did we all hear that? I want to move on. I want you to know that this point is a very big point. You know what? I'm bringing it out because Chazal do. I'm only bringing it because Chazal do. Yes, how much Chazal said it very nicely can a person do for themselves without being criticized? We know that Yosef is we know that Abigail is criticized a little bit more. Okay, just make a comment. Saying, remember me, when Hashem was good to you, remember me. Okay. And then we're going to go. Just, you know, well, one thing is life and death, and the other thing is a little different. But let's wait until we get back to the Gemara, okay? Let's wait until we get back to the Gemara. The Gemara brings in a somewhat slightly different picture going on. I'm deliberately reading the text first because I want you to get one picture now. The straight picture, my friends, please listen. Abigail is a fascinating. She is a multifaceted, I think that's the best way to put it. The whole story is multifaceted, but it tells the interaction between human beings. It tells us so much about the interaction of two human beings. Here we have a person, David and Melech, right? David, and here we have a Neviah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent a woman who is to go and stop from committing murder when he shouldn't, because his, as we're going to see in the Gemara, not yet known as a king. Right? Not yet known as a king. You do not have the right now to put the law of Malchut on him, because you are not a king. That's the point. Saying to him, keep your soul clean. May your soul be tied with the bonds of eternal life. Keep your soul clean. And because remember, you are going to be a king, you are going to put a blot on. That's what I wanted to say. It's also well known in Shevet Yehuda. Her husband. One more comment. He is very brilliant. She is really, really, remember, what is she called? You forgot, I forgot to remind you. She is called Tovat Seichel. Brilliant. She has a good mind, V'yifat Tohar, and she's also beautiful. And when the Torah tells us, when the Navi tells us that somebody is beautiful, it is not for a reason. Because it makes now I'm going to take it. No, we just have to, you know, keep it moist. Anyway, one more line and then we're going to the Gemara. The Gemara is overwhelming. You have to really take a deep breath before you go in. So, Vayomar David la'Avigayil. David has a very interesting reaction. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Asher Shlochei Hayom Hazeh Likroti. Blessed is Hashem, the God of Israel, who sent towards me. In other words, that Abigail was sent, not admit. He agrees that Abigail was sent by Hashem. And David took all the food, right? The law of Amar, Shalom Levetei. And he said to her, go into your house, go back home. And I respected you. I respected you. Tell me, do you feel that there is anything else going on? Does it seem to be a laden text? It's in the middle of the night, going to a deserted place night all by herself on a donkey, with donkeys filled with food going before. Right? In the middle of the night, mistaken her heart, place in the mountain. And because she's in the place, she hears David and his men saying they're going to go kill. That's what happened. They left it out. Says, we're not going to leave anybody alive. And she stops him in the middle of the night. How does she stop him in the middle of the night? Tell me. Come on. How does she stop him in the middle of the night? It's not just a beautiful woman in the middle of the night. Wow. Let's go. Here we go. I'm going back to the Gemara, which you might not. So you got to listen, which is okay, because you better listen. This is one of the hardest parts. Okay. So remember the Gemara started who was the seventh and gave us the fourth, right? And the fourth, one, two, three, four, the fifth one. Abigail, how do we know this? Dichtiv, as it is written, Vihaya Rochemet Yoredet Taken. Was that she was riding on the donkey and going down on the side of the mountain. What is this Besater, the hidden part of the mountain? Min Aharmi Baile. It should just say, coming down the mountain. What's this side of the mountain? Amar Rava Bar Shmuel. Rava Bar Shmuel said, Al Iskei Dam Haba Min Hadarim. Came to ask on. Matters of blood that come from Satan, the hidden part. I want you to know that what it's telling us, lots of it's telling us, one of the things David was known as a posek among the people. And one of gave Piske Alacha on Dam Mida. And so in the middle of the night, coming and making about Satan, the hidden part of the mountain, is going to ask him a Shaila about Dam Mida. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. Not Ladam, the Heratala, took blood and she showed it to him. Is this Dam Nida? Amarla, he said to her, wait a minute. You don't ask a Shaila about Dam, Laila. You have to look at it by daylight, the light of day. What are you doing, lady? I mean, can you, I want you to just for a moment get the picture. Just for a minute. It's the middle of the night. It's probably raining. It's the middle of the night. This woman comes, stops gets off the donkey and says, Rebbe, I have a shaila about Damnida. Just get what? Of course it's an excuse because it's more of an excuse than what you think because this woman is brilliant. This woman is brilliant. What does she want David to realize? He says, you don't ask J-Lo about Damnida. Amrullo, she answered him. Ah, and do you decide capital? Not. Remember it says the next day, if a Beit Din sits and they convict somebody of murder, they have to wait the next day because you give time to witnesses and you do not carry out, execute, carry out an execution. Thank you. Word. An execution at night. You don't do it. She wants David to stop. She wants David to stop because she doesn't want him to commit murder. That's her. In other words, all she knows, notice how a woman, remember last week Estelle said, where does Hashem tell the Nevi'ah what to do? That he doesn't tell him what to do. That's the interesting thing. Plan how to do it. I'm going to stop. I have by doing an outrageous thing. It's as simple as that. I am going to do an outrageous thing. I'm going to stop him by saying, have a shaila. And he's going to say, you don't ask that kind of shaila. And I'm going to say to him, you do not commit murder or execute an execution, how do you like that, at night either. Marla. Moreid b'malchutu. We have set the fact in from the point of view that he is a rebel against the king. Below tzarich l'midayanei, and he doesn't need the regular rules of a courtroom. We do not, when a king decided to be moreid b'malchut, he did not have to take that person to a Beit Din. The king could make the decision. He has the right. It's Nay Malchut. Doesn't need to bring him to a Beit Din. Amrullo, she said, Adayin Shaul Kayam. Shaul is still in existence. Velo Yatsa Tivacha Ba'olam. And your reputation has not gone out yet into the world. Amarla, he said to her, Baruch. You have a blessed to Amech is your taste. It means your intelligence. Ubrucha at, and you are blessed. Asher kili tani ayom hazem bob damim. You stopped me today from shedding blood. He gives her a bracha. Boy, that was really smart what you did because you stopped me in my track. And you really showed me that I was wrong. Damim tarte mashma. You can hear damim is plural. You stopped me from shedding more than one kind of blood. Ella melamed, what's the other kind of blood? What's the other capital crime? He's talking about two capital crimes. This Gemara is very open. As I told you, it's very difficult to teach. She's a married woman. Listen, Melamed Gilta et Shoka is teaching us that she's getting off the donkey, revealed her thigh, actually a foot, Shoka is not thigh. That's going to be the calf. V'halach la'ora shalosh parsa'ot. The funny Gemara. And he went by the light of her leg, three parsa'ot, it's like three measures of distance. In other words, beautiful. Beautiful. And you know what? He is attracted to her. Amazing. is an amazing Gemara, and I really had to think a couple of times if I could do it. Like I told you, I have more guts. Did it? Let's go a little bit further. Amarla, he said to her, "Hashmi'ili." He said to her, "Listen to me." You know what that means? Let's. Hashmi'ili, listen to me. Amarla, lo yes, don't. L'chalapuka, remember? Don't let this get some block on top. Don't let take a blot on your record. Connie is looking ahead. She said he does it with Batsheva. Well, you know, the Gemara knew it also. Don't. This, Michlal de'ika achariti, because there's somebody who comes afterwards. Who? And what is that? Ma'aseh de Batsheva. The story of Batsheva. She's saying to him, don't let this happen to you again. I can see that you're an impulse. Saying, don't let this be a stumbling block. Of course, if you do this, it will be a constant blot on your soul. And it actually happened exactly that way. And remember that the soul of my master is bound in the bond, right? He have a mitzvah umbrella vizacharta et amata. And then the Gemara is saying when she left him. Because when she left him, she said, and Hashem will do good to my master. Remember, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, remember, your maidservant. Hainu da Amri Inti. Rabbi Nachman is. He says, this is what people say. In other words, there is a folk saying. Itita, the woman. Bahadi Shota. When she, Shota is. While she's weaving her own, because when Chazal say weaving, they mean the way a woman conducts. So Rabbi Nachman says she's weaving, right? But Batsheva is weaving herself. She wants to, yes. Is thank you. Ika de Amri, and they also say, Shil va'azil bar avza. A goose always is low and looks at the ground. The Ohi Mitayafi. But the eyes of the goose always look at him. It looks walk. In other words, Chazal, like feathering, so to speak, that putting it negatively, putting it positively, she's saying she knows she got a nevuah that her husband is going to die. There's no question. She knows that. She's saying, think of me in the future. She's really. So we have an interesting picture when, you know, by the way, the Gemara does, after this section on the video, the Gemara talks about the four most beautiful women. Now, Abigail. And what they're saying, what Chazal is saying to the Gemara is that their beauty had they were beautiful, like Sarah. Sarah would have never been able, would have never been taken into the house of Pharaoh and then into the house of Abimelech. The whole story would not have happened. So with Sarah, I forgot, Rachav. You were talking about Rachav, and we're going to come to Rachav, because you know what? We have 2 minutes to go to Chuva. Rav, whose story is beautiful because she was able to convince the Meraglim to save her. Abigail is one of the beautiful people. And Esther. Or their beauty is used because they want to be part of the history of Amir. All of that. And save Esther, who saved Amir. At any rate, it's an absolutely amazing story. And the lesson, of course, that she leaves for all generations is don't do something that would ruin your future, right? Don't be impulsive and ruin your future before you even start. Her story is an amazing story of a person really finding a way that is not. Boaz and Ruth, when you all start talking, we don't hear the end. Naval does indeed die, and David does take Abigail for a wife. And Abigail does not take David, kind of disappears from his. She does not have a role in the story of David afterwards. Her son does. In other words, we do have a son. Her son is a Talmid Chacham, was for a while the head of the Sanhedrin during the time that David was. All we know is that she has one son who is totally not interested in being the next king. He's the only son we know of, because remember, we had problems with all of David's sons. Amnon got killed. Avshalom wants to be king. What's his name? The third one also wanted to be king. Adonia wants to be king, and all the time Abigail's son is interested in her. I forgot his name. I knew somebody would ask me. I forgot his name. It's very important. His name is Kilav. That wasn't really his name. He's called Daniel in Divrei Hayamim, but he's given Kilav. He belongs to his father, because all of the wags of the generation said they took Abigail, maybe the baby was really Naval. And I want you to know that from that time there is a rabbinic gezerah that if you marry a widow, you have to wait 3 months, or a divorcee, you must wait 3 months to make sure that she is not pregnant from the previous husband. And that's why he got a nickname, Kilav. He's from, really from his father, meaning he looked exactly like him. So Kilav Daniel was a Talmid Chacham. She's mentioned again as one of the wives of David that he had in Hebron before he moved. Way before Bathsheba. Because Bathsheba comes when David is already. He has already conquered all the nations, pushed him. He has already set him. But now I'll tell you what we're going to do when you got to listen. That is a very cute little girl. Wow. At any rate, we have several generations to go through in order to come to our next. And again, that you get so interested, or I get so interested. Yeah, that it's really hard for me to move ahead at a decent pace. And I'm sorry, because I would like to spend much more time. But we go to Chulda. We have to go ahead many, many, many generations. Because Chulda lived towards the end, about 25 years before the destruction of the Kingdom, towards the end of the Kingdom of Yehuda. We have gone through the time that David became king, that David's dynasty is going to rule, that the kingdom splits after the time. Malchut Yisrael and Malchut Yehuda. Malchut Yisrael is destroyed in 722 before the common era by a certain Sancherib who was the king of Ashur. And about 150 years later, there is also a Churban. The king is Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu is a Melech Tzadik. He is the greatest Baal Tshuva of all time. The Navi tells us, Lo haya kamohu, there was nobody like him. Asher shav el Hashem b'chol libo. There was no king like him who returned to Hashem with all his heart and soul. He was the son and grandson of two very, very evil kings. He was the grandson of the most evil king in Malchut, Menashe, and his father, Amon, was just as bad. Fortunately, he did not rule for very long. He became king because his father didn't rule for very long. He was very young, Yoshiyahu. He was 7 years old when he became king. And of his own volition, we learn, Hechel Lidrosh et Elokim, that at a certain point when he was king, when he was about 18, he began to seek God, we learned that in Divrei HaYamim, and he sought out the great Navi, who is Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu. Yoshiyahu is really his boy. Yoshiyahu is referred to in Eicha, or Gimel, Eicha Yuam Zahav. How did the gold dim? And he's talking about Yoshiyahu. It's a very poignant story. In the time of Yoshiyahu, when he started doing tshuva, and when he came under the influence of the great Navi Yirmiyahu, he decided that he needed to do a better kabbalah, a cleaning up of the Beit HaMikdash. As they were cleaning the Beit HaMikdash, an amazing thing happened. They found in the rubble outside Kodesh Kodashim a Sefer Torah. And when they unrolled the Sefer Torah, it was opened at the Tochecha in Devarim, started Vahamelech, V'kol Ha'am. The king and all of the nation will be taken into exile. And the Kohen Gadol finds the Sefer Torah and calls Hasofer. He calls the scribe, and he says, Sefer Torah. So we have 1 minute. Let me just read the story so at least you have it. Okay. So on the new page, it is number 2. Malachim Bet Perek Chafet, right? Vayomer Chilkiyahu HaKohen HaGadol El Shafat. The Kohen Gadol, who is Chilkiyahu, says to Shafat, Sefer HaTorah. Did you see that idea? Sefer HaTorah. The Sefer Torah. By Moshe Rabbeinu, that kept in the little design that went around the Aron in Kodesh. The Sefer Torah of Moshe was kept with the Aron. And it was found outside in the rubble. I found the Sefer Torah in the house. By Chilkiah and Sefer by Yikra Ehu. And Chilkiah gave the Sefer Torah to Shafan, and he read it, and he opened it in his book. Vayavo Shafan HaSofer al HaMelech. And he came Vayikra'ehu Shafan HaSofer. And Shafan read that opening where it was rolled to before the king. Vayehi Kishmoa HaMelech Kishivrei Sefer HaSofer. And Shafan And it was when the king heard the words of the Sefer Torah, Vayikra et Begadav. He ripped his clothing in. Vayitzav HaMelech Chilkiyahu ve'et Achbor ben Shaphan ve'et Achbor ben Yia ve'et Shaphan HaSofer ve'et Achiyah Eved HaMelech le'mor. The king put together a so they're very strong. And he says to them, and this is where we'll stop, L'chu dirshu et Hashem ba'ad ba'ad uva'ad kol Yehuda. Go out and seek the word of Hashem for me and all of Yehuda. Al divrei ha-sefer ha-nimsa hazeh. About the words of this Sefer Torah that Gedolah Hamat Asher Hinitabat Al Asher Lo Shamu Avotenu Al Divrei HaSefer La Asot Kol HaKadosh. There's a great anger that is Hashem is very angry at our fathers, and the anger has broken against us about the words of God. Yoshiyahu feels that he himself has been leading the people in a direction of tshuva, and he feels that maybe they are being punished of the sin of the God. So, unfortunately, like about so, hopefully, I'm getting ahead. Thank you very much. Yeah, Shavua Tov. Everybody have a good week.